Today is Sunday, the 3rd of March, and we are reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are starting on page 99 with the paragraph, Let No Alcoholic, through page 100 to up to and including the paragraph on page 100, If You Have Been Successful. Today, Annabelle will be our reader of the text, and followed by a 20-minute share. Can you read the text, please, Annabelle?
I unmuted her. What's? I don't know what's happening here. Try again. I'm sorry, I don't know what's wrong here. Kim, if you can get her, go ahead. The name's not even coming up for me. Did she fall off? Anybody seeing her? Because I'm putting her name in and I'm not getting her up here. I wonder if she fell
there
off.
There we go. Now I got it.
Okay.
It's on there. I got it twice and then I got remuted. Okay. I'm Annabelle, recovering compulsive overeater in Washington State. Starting page 99 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. This just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. We have seen men get well whose families have not returned at all. We have seen others slip when the family came back too soon. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. When working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. You may spoil your chance of being helpful if you do. But urge upon a man's family that he has been a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show them that he has entered upon a period of growth. Ask them to remember when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. If you have been successful in solving your own domestic problems, tell the newcomer's family how that was accomplished. In this way, you can set them on the right track without becoming critical of them. The story of how you and your wife settled your difficulties is worth any amount of criticism. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Annabelle. And now I'm pleased to introduce Ruth M. from Illinois, who will share with us for 20 minutes. Ruth, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I want to thank Kim for inviting me to speak. It's always an honor to speak in a way. Acknowledge Joe and Charlie. I came into program in 82 and through my own self-will-run riot, floundered around, never really got abstinent, had days, but abstinent, no. And then I spent a weekend with him in Kansas City in 1986, and I left there, and soon thereafter I became abstinent, and I'm abstinent to this day. And then another weekend in 87 in Tulsa, and I want to give them credit. They opened my eyes in a way I had never seen the big book. And so I want to honor my elders. Today we're talking, this is step 12. And very, very briefly, what they said, and I agree that this book is a textbook. It's not to just be picked up and read page 58, that's like trying to understand algebra, and you don't even know how to add and subtract. So we go through the book, and each staff builds on the previous staff visit, explains exactly how to work it. And they said there are three things. The first question we're going to answer from this book is, what is the problem? If we don't have the problem, you can get off the phone now and go do other things because it doesn't apply to you. And that's step one. We have to admit 100% with absolute perfection, as the AA 12 and 12 says on page 68. We have to do that for step one, because if we do it 99.9%, then 0.1% will still come back and eat compulsively. And then if we accept the problem, which is a pretty big chunk to do, but once we do that, we yearn, we're desperate to know the solution, and that's step two. So if the problem is lack of power, then step two is power, and that power is greater than us as we find that power. And then 3 through 12 just simply tell us how to get the solution, and it lays it out perfectly. Once we get to step 12, we've had a spiritual awakening, and that then tells us what is the result, what's the outcome. You know, we do all this work; it tells us what to do, but now we're at the place to know what's going to happen from all of this. And spiritual awakening, well, I didn't want anything to do with God when I came in. And two things, we try to carry the message to other alcoholics and to practice principles in all our affairs. Indeed, that is true. So when I look at this, the page you gave me, the one thing that really stands out, the first part that stands out is remind the prospect that the recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. Well, for me, I was always dependent on something outside of me. I never could depend on me because I was such a mess inside of me. I had to have something else out there to do something for me, what I wanted to have, but it had to be outside. So mine was food. Others are alcohol and drugs and sex and relationships with others. It's endless, all those things out there. But it was something outside of me. So this is a warning that one of the things we can get addicted to is people, because that's outside of me. And the solution will not be found outside of me. Fill in the blank, if it's food or people or anything, we're going to have problems. So I remember learning very early on that when I first started program, I treated my sponsor as I treated food. Either I binged on her or I was anorexic with her. So neither approach worked. And so we can get addicted to people program in an unhealthy way. We can be inspired by them. But when they are inspired, we go inward and replicate what is the best we see within us. But if we look at them and say they are the solution and I've got to have that person, we can actually build an unhealthy relationship. And what we think the solution is that person and not the solution. The solution is a power greater than us. I get it at the beginning. The meeting's greater than us. The person is greater than us. But we do evolve through these steps to find that the solution is something even greater than the meeting and the person. And that's my relationship with God. It says that on page 51 of the big book. The purpose of my program today is to become more aware, more conscious of the presence of God in my life, and to do all that I can to be aware of that. And the people are great, but again, I need to remember, I got addicted to the program actually early on, and it helped, but it then at a point I had to learn that I had to really go deeper still. So in this, the one paragraph here that I'd like to concentrate on is the paragraph that tells me some things, some promises. The big book has a lot of promises. Step 3 is page 69, step 4 is 70, step 5 is 75. We have promises for step 12. And it talks about the very beginning in this chapter. The second paragraph tells us promises. And I synthesize everything. That's just the way my mind works. And so we look at the very beginning of this chapter. it gives us a paragraph that tells its promises. And the second paragraph says, life will take on new meaning to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Beautiful, powerful. If we look at that paragraph closely, it's talking about what we see outside of us happening in the fellowship, all these great, wonderful things, and to be a witness to this unbelievable experience, profound. This paragraph we read today is also promises, but this promises take us inward and look at within ourselves what is happening. And these are also very powerful promises. And it says, both you and the new men must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. Progress, I always liked perfection, but now it is progress. And here it is. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. Ah, so this is talking about my relationship with God and what happens within me. So for myself, just where I'm at today, my brother just very recently died. And so it takes me to this paragraph and what's happening within me. And it's a tragic story, but it's tragic for a lot of addicts. And it was, you know, we all had this, me and my brother and my other siblings, we had a hard childhood, and it just was what it was. And so for my brother, when he was six, my mother left. Well, that was great because my mother was a paranoid schizophrenic in state hospital. She was violent, neglectful, many affairs. He was the only male child, so he was treated differently. He was not hit. The females were. But that's a hard burden to absorb. And, but then it was my dad, single parent, did the best he could at that point, you know, but he tried. And that was the anchor for my brother, the relationship with my dad. And then 10 years later, when my brother was 16, my father was killed in a highway accident. It was traumatic for me. It was traumatic for him. But I was older. I had just graduated from college. But then my older sister, with no possible thing to explain why, but she believed my brother caused that accident because my father, a farmer, had two trucks. He was in a truck with my brother, supposedly, going to the stockyards, coming home. He was killed, and so my brother caused the accident because he wasn't in that vehicle. I thought, well, they both could have got killed. So she laid it on him. You caused it. She wrote a letter saying, you caused it. Your wife, father, my dad died, and you should have died. And never spoke to him again. So a hard life he had, and he never rose above that, I don't think. And so for me, it makes me sad to witness that he never really felt this deep joy and gratitude for life. And I feel it just because of this program. It saved my life. And so I'm sad that he passed on in his addiction. And food ended up being the primary reward at the end. And so we can switch addictions then. So for me, the thing is, well, what am I learning now? And this paragraph says to me, you will handle, I'm the executive of the state, my other two living sisters, very estranged from him. You know, he still is the fault of many things. I came from this program and learned, no. We all love each other. And so he wanted me to be the executive of state, which means I have to spend a lot of time with my family right now. And, you know, I love them. You know, they're precious. But I don't spend a lot of time with them because they're in their own stuff. And, you know, it's okay. And I see them, but it's not like a daily occurrence or anything like that. And so as I look now, I really have been thrust back into a lot of time looking at my childhood and where I am now. And the paragraph tells me that one of the things that no matter what happens, I know deep within me that in God's hands, there's meaning in everything. And so today, I have great appreciation, deep gratitude to God for my childhood, deep gratitude. When I was much, much younger, before program, I blamed everything on my mom. And I had to learn that resentment towards my mother was killing me. It brought me into the food. There were other things, but it really brought me into the food, and I couldn't ever stay out of it. So I just want to say that. So this is about anything that happens in God's hands, and if I can do God's work, oh my God! I mean, we are transformed. And I see the world differently. I see my brother differently.
Cut.
I see death differently.
Can you give me a favor?
And so,
yeah.
Yes? Did I hear something?
Okay, sorry about that. Talking. Somebody was unmuted. Ruth, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so what can we learn? We now are not reactive to life, but we are proactively with God in running the show. It's not... You know, I used to even believe that, you know, I pray to God to help me. And today I do. I never do that prayer. I pray to help God. Every day I'm to get up and say, what is it you want of me today? How do I serve you and others? And that is what drives me how to live my life. And doing that, then I can see unbelievable awareness. I don't take things that they're all about me or that somehow I have to run the show. I see my weaknesses, and then it's a wonderful world no matter what happens. And it is a wonderful world today because today my presence of God is deeper. Anything I think, anytime we encounter things that are difficult, it always makes me come even closer to God. Not that I would want my brother dead, but this is... this teaches me so much. It's nothing like death of somebody you love that was in the disease that propels you to even be closer to God and thus farther away from my addiction, because this person lived out a life in that addiction. Yeah, it's just today, that's just where I'm at today. And so... Can we look at something and say, well, what is it? I don't understand. Can you tell me what this means? And God will tell us, rather than rushing to try to analyze it. That's mine. There's the knowing of the heart that's much deeper and more profound. So I go there instead of trying to figure things out. I used to be a binge thinker before I was a binge eater. So I don't need to do that. And more aware of my thought, my feelings, and it just brings me more in touch with who I am. And so my present circumstances is not what it's about. It's for me trusting God deeply, so deeply, and honoring whatever God gives me every day, and knowing that there's a higher purpose in it all, and I'm to do that. And I now know, I just know it within me. I am now met at this moment to carry God to, as best I can, structurally create how I handle this estate in a way that allows the generation of my nieces and nephew to heal. And in that healing, if they take that, heal, as they say, Native American culture, seven generations in the past, and the next seven generations in the future. It ripples through generations, the healing. And because I'm in a place of being healed to the level I can, I'm passing it on to them. And I don't know how they'll respond. My sponsor, I had a talk with her in deep words, and it keeps coming to me. She says, oh, Ruth, you speak two languages. My relationship with money has nothing to do with the relationship with money that my two siblings have. And theirs don't have anything with mine, but I do know of theirs because I come from theirs. And theirs is, it's about money, all about money. And mine has nothing to do about money in my responsibility now. It's not about money. It's about relationships, relationship with God and people and how I serve them. The money's just the vehicle I get in to get to that destination of having God best expressed in my life and how I live it every day. And so they're a little confused, you know, about what I'm doing with the money. Of course, they don't want to control it, but they can't do that. So, but I stay pure as best I can. I'm clear about this, you know, that how do I handle it and what I do and how I interact with people. And society is kind of wrapped up in about money and all about money and not about our relationships. Our
Five
relationships,
minutes,
that's what,
Ruth.
yeah. Okay, I thought it was 5 minutes. Okay, so our relationships are what matter to me now. One of the things I've had that I've learned, I didn't know this, I've always had enough. Always had enough. It was me demanding or expecting, manipulating to get something that made it think it was not enough. But with God, it's always enough. I've always had enough money. I've always had enough money. The first 5 years out of college, after my dad died, I had $300 a month to live on. Today, it'd be about 1500. It was enough. Today, it's enough. It's always enough. And I've always had enough things. I've always had enough, you know, possibility with you. Every one of you is precious. I am precious. And I've always had enough. But what blocked me wasn't you or circumstances. It was me in trying to get my what I thought were my wants and desires, my little plans. You know, that's what blocked me. And if I can settle down to this present moment with you, I've had enough. What I say today will be enough. If, to the extent that God spoke through me, the extent it didn't, it wasn't enough. And I accept that. It's just a life where I'm meant to just be with life as life is, let go of expectations, do it to the best of my ability. And so in this moment, in sorrow and grief, I now, it's just, that's just enough. It's a different world when we place ourselves in God's hands and accept God's love through us, God's love of us, God's love of us that's given to us to give away to others. I am blessed, and it is, no matter what the circumstances are, it's a new and wonderful world when I get out of my own way and just say, used to say, go with the flow. Well, that sounds nice. You know, I don't have any extraordinary characteristics, talents, or anything. I'm just another bozo on the bus like the rest of us. And now I'm willing to just sit there in the bozo of the bus and not be a backseat driver, even. You know, and so I think just these are wonderful promises, and they take me back to inside me and my relationship with God, and thus then how I see the world, and so merged with the promises on page 89, where I see the fellowship and the outer world now and how it is, and I want to be a part of that. I just want to thank God. I want to thank of all of you. I want to thank of all of the OA. It has, I can't put it in words how it's changed my life. I'm not who I was. And with that, I pass.